appreciate Jeremiah and his testimony and his little midrash we had last week. It was awesome, wasn't it? Very good. And really, you know, as we went to Revive and we were at the conference, and this is my little portion of what I believe, you know, talking with Brad Scott and going through some of his classes, and he really believes that the next move is, you know, the moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's really believing that this next move is going to be a lot to deal with, like the apostles moved during the time when they walked on the face of the earth. You know, we, a few months ago, and I don't even know how many months ago it was, but we had talked about, in Revelation, where it talked about the kingdoms, and then where it said in the eighth was going to be the seventh, and we talked about how the Ottoman Empire was a, was that seventh one, I believe, was that seventh kingdom, which came out of Rome. There, you know, in Rome, you had two legs of iron, but there were two, and it split. And so you ended up having Constantinople and you had Rome itself. But you see, and then all of a sudden yesterday there was a coup that happened in Turkey. I don't know if you've heard about that or not, but if you in the news, and you know Gog and Magog and all of that is in the Turkish region. We went through the whole map, if you remember, and how that Turkey used to be a secular, but now it's going very much Islamic. And so you're going to see now, since that coup got squashed down, you're going to see now a more Islamic nation in that area, which it goes all the way. And we talked about even PUT, I think is how you would say it, but even that was Libya. So it leaves a whole trail, and Libya no longer has its leader. ISIS is there. Al-Qaeda is there. You can see the whole region. So sooner or later, whether it's their prime minister who's there now in Turkey or somebody is going to rally these people together. And when they do, then you're going to see that when they're flying under one flag, it's going to be on. So I would definitely agree that the power of the gifts would definitely be moving during the time of this turmoil, because, guys, we're going to have to know what's going on. We're going to have to learn how to discern these times. And I can promise you that there's lots and lots of information out there. There's a lots of people trying to discern it, saying this is what it is. This is, you know, I desire for us to be focused on what the Holy Spirit is leading and telling us to do. Because just like during Daniel's day, Daniel went into captivity. He knew how to discern. It didn't do any good to pick up a sword because Yahweh put him into captivity. But at the same time, the Maccabeans were able to rise up. He was able to deliver them. So it's very, very important for us as a people to be able to discern what's going on. Now, the reason why I wanted to start here, because this is very important about the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read verse 10, 11, and 12, and 13. It says, "Finally be strong in Yahweh and in the strength of His might." And we've heard this scripture for decades, okay? If you've been a believer, as long as you've been a believer, you have heard this scripture. "Put on the whole armor of Elohim that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against principalities and powers over this present darkness and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Have we not heard that? "Therefore, take up the whole armor of Elohim that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm." Now, here's a problem that we seem to run into. A lot of times in where I came from, really the Holy Spirit didn't show up until Acts. It was like the Holy Spirit was never in the Old Testament. It was never in the Torah. But if you read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, there was something that was over the face of the earth. What was it? The Spirit of Elohim. So the Holy Spirit was sort of like in the beginning. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is not something new. The Holy Spirit, even though it was called the Spirit of Elohim, it is the same. There wasn't an Old Testament Holy Spirit and a New Testament Holy Ghost. Okay? It wasn't two. It's the same Spirit. So we have to understand that. All right, now we understand that we're fighting against principalities. Now I want to, Tammy, if you would, you have a mic. Go to 1 Samuel 15:23. Y'all can write that down. You're gonna understand this verse because you've heard it. This is talking where Samuel was talking to Saul during his rebellion. 1 Samuel 15:23, and it says something.
For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he has also rejected you from being king.
Okay, we heard it as this. Rebellion is as the sin of what? Witchcraft. Witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So we're seeing witchcraft here. We're seeing that this is principalities and darkness. And stubbornness or presumption, insubordination. In other words, going against his Torah. Okay, going against the very Ramas that the father told Saul, which he told him what to do. The next scripture that I want us to go to is Colossians chapter 3. We read this a while back. Colossians 3, 5, and 6, and it says this. It says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurities, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. So he's saying that sexual immoralities, impurities, passions, evil desires, even covetousness, which is it made the top 10, even though it was number 10, it made the top 10. Amen. He's telling us what? Covetousness is really ironic to me. I know Steve did a good job in his message that he was while we were at Revive, and he was talking about, but guys, idolatry is what's going to keep anybody from moving into gifts. Because the very thing is you deal with the very first commandment, I am Yahweh. And then the next one is have no graven image. He starts with idolatry, but I thought it's very fitting that the last one he mentioned was number 10. If you're operating in that, you're operating in what? Idolatry. That's right, it rolls right back. It just rolls right back into. So everything that you see, and guess what? We hear, we understand, because most of us that were in congregations the days of old, we used to worship on Sunday. But when you started looking at the top 10, and it's talking about the Shabbat, the Sabbath, which is the seventh day, and when we understand when it was changed, we said years ago that, well, I don't have the authority and the right to change that. And neither does any other. Not if Yahweh set it up in the beginning, this is what we're to do, this is what we need to do. So guess what? By not obeying the commandments, what does that mean? That you're in witchcraft, that you're in rebellion. Rebellion's in the witchcraft, and witchcraft is in idolatry. So you see how it all ties together. So the thing is for us, and this is the reason why, how do you put on this armor? What is the armor is the question. That's right, it's the priestly garments. It's not a Roman soldier's. So these priestly garments has everything to do with the very Torah itself. It's the very armor, because I can go to other scriptures that I won't have time to do, but it talks about the Torah being armor of light. It talks about the armor of righteousness. So whenever you have the very teachings and instructions at which the Torah is, this is what you have to put on. Now, as great as these scriptures are, let's go back to Ephesians in chapter 6. Let's look at something. Verse 1 says what? Children, do what? Obey your parents in the Lord or in the Master, for this is right. Honor your parent or honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise. Honor your father and mother. It's in the top 10. Number 5, first commandment given with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So here's verse 1 comes before verse 10, does it not? You're going to start seeing, if you can't do verses 1 through 9, you can forget verse 10. We can you can shout it, you can shake it, you can believe it, you can confess it, you can do whatever. But if you're not walking in the first nine verses, you have no armor. Your armor is laid aside. Children, obey your parents. Next, verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. And that's mothers also. But bring them up in the disciplines and instructions of the master. Now, what do you think the disciplines and instructions are? The very Torah. So he's saying, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. But bring them up. Do we not say that in the Via Hafta? This is what he's getting this from. Bring them up in the very disciplines and instructions of the Torah. From Genesis to Revelation. Then he goes on and he says, bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Messiah. Well, do we have bondservants today? Now, we don't have slavery today. But do we have employees today? Do we have an employer today? All you got to do is put that word there, bondservant, employees, masters, employer. This is what he's saying. Slaves, yeah. Sometimes we are slaves. Sometimes when we're employees, we feel like slaves. Amen? Sometimes we're in the wrong job, you definitely will feel like a slave. But this is what he's saying. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would the Messiah. In other words, when we at our workplace, we have, it's an attitude. We are to be able to serve. We're be able to do the best job that we know how to do, just as we're serving Yeshua. Now, if they're asking you to do something crooked, you don't do that. But I'm just talking about in our attitude as we serve. And what does he say? How do you do it? Not by the way of eye service as a people pleaser, but as bondservants of a Messiah doing the will of Elohim from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the master and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the master, whether he is a bondservant or whether he's free. This is the way that we are to conduct our business. If we have the wrong attitude, you can forget the armor of Elohim. If you're not doing what the Torah tells us to do, the armor does us no good because the armor is the Torah. Next, he says, masters, do the same to them and stop threatening. So now he's telling even an employer or a master, one who owns the business, who owns the land, who is the one who owns the farmer that owns everything. He's saying, do the same to them. Stop threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. Guess what? Even though you're a master, you're not the master. You are still a bondservant to the king. Amen. And there is no partiality with him. In other words, if you own the field, if you think you own everything, and if you're the employer, you think this is your business, guess what? Yahweh Elohim shows no partiality between anybody, whether you're an employee or not. No matter if you're the janitor or not. I can tell you right now, most of us, when you travel, you know, you have to pull off. You really enjoy to know that there is a clean restroom. Amen? But you know what? Somebody has to clean that restroom. And if you ever go in one that is not clean, it's very neglected. I'm trying to figure out words I can use. The thing about it is you do appreciate when somebody is, but somebody's got to clean it. And you know what? I hate to say it, but I'd hate to be the one that would have to clean them. People go in there. People, now you don't do that at home. If they do, I wouldn't go to their house. But there's some restrooms you would just think that they would do a little bit better if they knew. But you know what? And this is what this commandment is talking about. When we go into someone else's place of business, however we would leave our own bathroom, we need to leave that bathroom. If you can't do that, this is why this is addressing to us. How is He going to use us in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? How can He trust us with the very power? Because with the gifts of the Holy Spirit comes responsibility and great power. And if He can't trust us, that we can't go in and into a place that's not our own and leave that better than what we found it. You see what I'm saying? If you can't do that, how is He going to just bless God, use us in the power gifts? We're going to start raising the dead when we can't even raise the lid. Amen? 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 Just saying. I'm probably red, but I'm just saying. Let me find another verse. But this is home. This is what this commandment is about. If we can't do this first part of being obedient and taking care of everything that's not ours, because guess what? Everything belongs to Him. Everything belongs to Him. Amen. And so we have to be. We just can't go in there, you know, do you know who I am? Do you know what I own? You can't. It doesn't work that way. Guys, we have to do, and if you do this, the very Torah you are doing and you're walking out. In Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, these are the last three books of the Tanakh, of the Old Testament. This is, in a time period, is in the 520s, it's in the 500s. Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi was around 420. You're going to see Nehemiah, Ezra, and a lot of the... You see that the Holy Spirit was ministering to these prophets. He would minister to them. He would pull them out. They would go and they would give the word to the people. And then all of a sudden, it stops. You don't hear it. The Holy Spirit ceases. It's cut off. Now, I will tell you that the Holy Spirit, there is always a remnant, and there's always been a remnant. He has always had a people that would honor Him and trust Him, even though it might not be written down in these pages. Because we know that in the 165s, 164s, there were the Maccabees. And the Maccabees stood on the Torah. And by standing on the Torah, the Father sent His Spirit, and He led them out. He led them to defeat a mighty army, and He brought them back in, and they cleansed the temple. So you can see the workings of the Holy Spirit if you can look and see how the Holy Spirit is still alive and well. But there are times when there's cutoff places where the Father pretty much says the Spirit's not always going to strive with man. And you can see these places in history. After the apostles, you don't see the power of the Holy Spirit operating like it did. It was recorded. It doesn't mean that it wasn't. You just don't see it, notice it. I can tell you this, and this is one thing that some of the what I've been noticing and experiencing, and what people like Brad and different ones are now seeing, that if we can get to a place in our life to where we can be like what Paul was talking to the people of Ephesus, if we can get to a place to where we can humble ourselves, you know what I'm saying? You know what? Then He can trust you. He can trust that person that they're not going to go out and parade themselves around as some mighty. They're going to be like the prophets of old. They're going to be hidden. You can see a lot of these prophets, whenever they were called to do what they were to do, they wasn't out advertising for the job, because the Father knew that He could use them because they were humble people. That's what He's looking for in these last days, because He's not looking for another group of people to start up another ministry. You know what I'm saying? Let's go to John chapter 7. I just want to prove a point in showing that from Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, there was about 400 years of silence other than the Maccabean period. John recorded this in 737 through 39. He says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, and this is the Feast of Sukkot here, on the last great day, Yeshua stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Spirit has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this is said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Look what it says next. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Yeshua was not yet glorified. So you can see that the Holy Spirit was in a place of dormancy for these 400 years at the Sukkot at this time. At the very moment that Yeshua is going to be glorified, then he was going to pour his Ruach back out on his people. It says, verse 38, whoever believes in me, as the Scripture says. Well, how does the Scripture say? It says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This is the Holy Spirit. You're not really going to open your mouth and water is going to come out. It's the Holy Spirit is going to start flowing out of you. That's right, like water. Because whenever you need something to drink, what do you need? You need water. Whatever you need, the Holy Spirit will flow out of us to be able to minister. When you had the little boy, the Holy Spirit prompted you to stop. And you picked the little boy up and he was returned home safely. This is the way the Holy Spirit works. It's not in a... We need to make sure that we don't get this idea that it's all Elijah going to happen. Amen? It's a lot of the little things. It's... Rachel is praying for these little children. That is the moving of the Holy Spirit, because guess what? The prayers that you put forth, you don't ever know. A lot of times we don't ever see the fruits of our labor. A lot of times you don't. A lot of times you don't see the fruits of your labor. But the thing about it is we don't give up. As you continue to pray for these little ones in this box, as you continue to move how the Holy Spirit is. I know that he's been doing that here in small pieces, but it's going to move. You're going to have a lot more opportunities, what I'm saying. But the thing about it is if we don't have ourselves in line with his word, he can't use me. He can't use us if we're not in sync. We see here that the Holy Spirit, can we say this? Look what happened after the time of the apostles. You know, the second century. The third century, all of that not doing it Yahweh's way, what did it do? It cast us into the dark ages for 1,000 years. Did we not go into the dark ages for 1,000 years? That's right. You didn't even have the Bible. And eventually, the Father started bringing us slowly out of the dark ages. Till finally, we ended up with a Bible. But who had the Bible? Only the priest. Only those clergy people. That's all that had it. Nobody else had this for 1,000 years. This is why I believe this. Everything that Yahweh has, Satan has a counterfeit. I believe in the millennial kingdom. Millennial king, 1,000 years. Why would Satan not have a counterfeit? He did. Satan had his counterfeit already. For 1,000 years, we were in the dark ages. But the Father now is pouring out His Spirit little by little. But what I'm trying to tell you next is there's going to be a pouring out of His Spirit. Guys, we can't mishandle that. We have to be prepared for that. There is a great, great responsibility for what we say and what we do. Me standing up here every Shabbat, me just being in this office, it is scary, because one day I'm going to be standing before Him accountable. Now, He's probably going to overlook some of the prepared and prepared. some of my goofy language. But the thing about it is, but for the very life and the very Torah and everything that comes out of here, how to direct the people, how to direct the sheep, what are we to eat, what are we not to eat spiritually, how are we to operate in the gifts? Do you know that the prophet is subject to the prophets? Is that not what it says? So when people get up and they minister, we as leadership are still held responsible for what's said. Whether we agree with it, whether we allow it, whether we correct it or not. That is an awesome responsibility, because one day, y'all not going to be there. Tammy's not going to be there. I'm going to be there, and he's going to be asking me about these, about how this happened and everything that went on here. I have to answer for that. And I'm telling you, and I just will let you know, I didn't want this job. I ran from this job. Well, I did, and he electrocuted me. And that didn't work well when I was 16, because I really felt like I was going to be called to be a pastor or a minister, and I didn't want to do that. I said, you know, you can kill me. You can use me any way you want to do to save people. He did. And so now after 20 minutes of CPR, they brought me back to life. And you know what? We had a revival that week going on in our church. And you know what? 50 young people got saved because they realized and recognized that, you know what? You don't have to be 83 to die. You can die at 16 years old. And it doesn't matter who you are. He can take you. And a lot of people, a lot of my friends, they realized that life can go just like that. Now, to me, I had amnesia for 2.5 days. But I'm just saying it can happen like that. But I know that even when me and her, whenever we were engaged, and I'm saying, you know, like you heard my story before, I mean, I knew I was safe. I was in her church. I wasn't in mine. You know, I mean, I had long hair, had a mustache, and you didn't have that in a Pentecostal church. So I knew I was safe. I knew the Lord couldn't talk to me because I just looked rebellious on their standards. You know what I'm saying? But yet, of all the people in this holiness church, and I mean holiness church, I mean holiness church, I was the most, yeah, the beehives, amen, the holiness church, I was the most unholiest looking thing in there. I was dressed up nice, had my nice corduroy jacket with my little leather sleeves. I was looking good, other than, you know, I was ashamed of my lip and I was ashamed of my ears. So anyway, for those who's been in that, you know what that means. But the thing is for that minister to go back, and I mean, he was fireballing, he was preaching, he was spraying, he was getting down, and it was good, though. It was a great message. And I'm telling you, as he would walk back and forth, and he was throwing words out there, and he was preaching, and he would look at me, and I'd look down. And he would pass up, and he would look at me, and I'd look down. I was starting to feel uncomfortable. Because I didn't know if he was going to tell me to cut my hair or shave. You know what I'm saying? But then all of a sudden, he stops in the middle of all of this. And I mean, he point just radars it and says, the Father has got a call on your life to be a minister. I'm like, ain't no way. You know, I can't even hide in a holiness church. A good Baptist can't even hide in a holiness church. Something's wrong. Is that not the truth? Something's bad wrong. When you know that that preacher is not going to say that, because that goes against everything. And you know what? It no doubt surprised him to say that, because he had to answer to all them other people. How in the world did you tell him the way he looks? But the Father knew, if you're called, you can't hide. If you're called, you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. So I'm just saying this, guys, that the Father has a calling on everybody in here's life. Whether you're a husband, whether you're a mother, whether you're parents. We just went through from a child about being obedient. Guys, there's reasons. Children, there's reasons why we need to be obedient to our parents. And the reason is because there is a Father that we have to be obedient to when we grow up. His name is Yahweh Elohim. Parents, there's a reason why it says, Father, do not provoke your children Because Yahweh will never provoke you. Because if we're provoking our children, we're training them that maybe He will do that to us. And it will cause the children to go away from Him. Understand what this provoking is for. There's a reason why it's there. Don't provoke your children, because Yahweh Elohim is using you as a father. He's using you as that authority figure in their life, because one day you're going to hand them over to Me. That's what this is about. When you have children, you're stewards over your children to train them to one day you're going to hand them over to Him. Remember what we talked about in here a while back? Husbands, one day you will hand your wife back over to Yeshua. Are you going to hand your bride back over to Him better than you found her? That's what this is about. Will you be able, there you go, Keith. Will you be able to hand Ava over better than you found her? Amen. That's what our job is to do as husbands, is to be able to hand our brides back over to Him one day better than we found them. And I'm telling you, if you found them in great shape, you got a job. Are you keeping yours for eternity? Well, you might have to fight Yeshua for. But the thing about it is, because we're going to be that bride, that's the attitude. That's the attitude that we have to have as husbands with our wives. You wives, y'all can help turn us over in a good shape too. That ain't gonna hurt nothing. Amen. The very essence of, and this is why I'm saying this. If we can't do this, you can forget operating the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because people, I have seen this, I have witnessed this. I've been from being Baptist, like I said, to the Assemblies of God, to charismatic, like I said, nomadic, and all of the automatics. I've been in a lot of places. I didn't know why we were in a lot of places. I now know why I've been in a lot of places. Being with my brother in the Worldwide Church of God, understanding what they believe, and understand what you guys, where y'all have been. Learning these things, it was a journey. It was a journey of preparation for where we are now. Because guess what? Look at all of the different people that's in this place. We've come not from just one denomination. We've come from many denominations. Because the Father is, He says, come out of her, My people. You're coming out of a system, because understand what the Babylonian system is made of. Economic, political, and religious. It's made up of three legs, and He's saying, come out of that system. But you don't just come out of the economic part. You got to come out of the political part and the religious part. Because all of it is working together in one world government. It's working together to do Hasatan, what Satan wants you to do. So as we come out, but we have to come out with the understanding that we don't beat other people that hadn't come out yet. He wants a humble people. Moses, as we go through our Torah portions, and I'm going to close with this. Moses, if you ever notice him in the book of Numbers, as we've gone through the book of Numbers, he has had a ton of challenges. They have come at him, and I don't know how many different ways. They come at him, they blaming him for everything, but not knowing that blaming him, they're blaming Yahweh for everything. No matter how it comes, but if you ever notice what he does, whenever they challenge him in that way, because he knows he has been placed in charge, but he understands that challenge is not against him, it's against Yahweh. And he knows that Yahweh is not too happy. Because the moment it comes out of their mouths, 90% of the time, Moses is on his face crying out. Because he knows at the moment, guys, understand this. At the moment rebellion is coming and rolling off of their tongue, plagues are falling. They don't even get the sentence out. And the plagues are falling. Moses already understands, Father, what I need to do. How many times did Yahweh say, Moses, I tell you what, get away from these people. I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to start over with you. You're a good dude. You know what? And what did he do? He'd say, Father, what would the nations say? That you couldn't bring these people out? That you don't have the power to do this? And I'm going to tell you something. It took Moses to be able to say that. Because I can promise you, if it would have been probably anybody else, they would have probably, after all they've been, smoke them. Barbecue, where do you want me to build the altar? You know what I'm saying? Let's do start all over. Amen. I'm just saying, I'm just glad I wasn't Moses. You know what I'm saying? And I'm glad you wasn't either. Because they would have all died out there in the wilderness. The reason why these stories is in the Torah, because we have to have the heart of Moses. We have to have that heart to whenever you know that somebody is coming against you. What did Yeshua say? They're not coming against you. If you wasn't following me, they wouldn't be jumping on you like they are. But because you're following me, they're really coming against me, not you. So it gives us that perspective. Now, does it make it hurt any less? No. It hurts just the same. But you have to understand to cast your cares on him. That's what that means. Deflecting all of that on him, he's got shoulders big enough to carry it. Guys, we can't carry that. It'll eat us up. But if we know that we can be obedient, like what it said, if we can obey our parents, if we will not provoke our children, and in our workplace, if we can do what we're supposed to do with the right attitudes and a great heart, find favor with both Yahweh and man, where you can. And that's what Paul always was teaching. If we can do that, then you know what? He can trust you to use you in the power gifts. He can trust you. That's right. Can I trust you with my spirit? Because I'm telling you, if he says life and death comes out of what? The tongue. Life and death can come off that tongue. There's a lot of power there. Can I trust you with my power? That is very, very important. Because I'm telling you, life and death is what you're dealing with in these situations. I want to say two other things. Real quick, the rest of that. What you see is you do see that in the gifts of the Spirit, by being humble, and I want to say this. Sometimes, you know, when I get like this, I got to say it because I've only got one good shot at it. You know what I mean? Because it goes on borderline of meddling. Okay? Now we're at meddling. Everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you write, everything that goes out from your iPad, mini pad, and all the other pads, and the phones and all the other stuff, understand this. Whenever you're doing, can I use you, Brian, as an example? Brian is reserve deputy sheriff. Do you have a Facebook? Or he doesn't have a Facebook. There's a good reason why he doesn't have a Facebook. If he had a Facebook and he rant and raved every time he had these, and then all of a sudden he got in a situation with the sheriff's department and something went south and somebody got killed or whatever, you know where the first place these lawyers are going? To that Facebook or that Twitter account, whatever that thing is. And social media. See, I don't want to meddle, but I know I'm meddling. But here's the reason why I say this is this, guys. What you put out there, you can't take back. Once it goes out there, you can't go retrieve it. And the thing about it is if you put certain things out there, and then all of a sudden other people see it and they say, what up with that? Then what happens is if you try to be used in the gifts, it's really hard for people to trust people if they're in the what up with that category. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I'm saying is be careful what you say. Be careful what you do. Because the thing is the Father wants to use you. How can he use you if other people are already offended? I'm just saying, okay? I'm saying it as nice as I know how to say it with not condemning nobody. You know, I don't do Facebook anymore. I used to be on Facebook. I told her I was gone because I didn't know how to operate it. Most people were, what do they do to it when they steal my account? Hacking it. Man, I was a hacker's dream. Man, these people were, they had me over in Italy. I mean, over in London one day, broke down and didn't have money, wire me money. People were emailing. My email was blowing up wanting to know if I was okay. I said, yeah, I'm okay. What's going on? You know, I had to have Scott. Scott had to go and do the thing for me because I couldn't even get in my account. The guy had changed my whatever. He changed passwords and all that. Next thing you know, so I had to get Scott to go and email him and do all of that, shut it down at time. So all I'm saying is this. That's just what's there. I just didn't really do enough, but I got hacked a lot. But so I had Tammy just to shut mine down. I didn't know how to shut it down. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we do just thank you for this portion of your Torah, Father. We desire as believers to be used by you in any way. Father, we know that we all won't be a David. We won't all be a Moses or an Elijah. But we don't have to be. We could be a Miriam. We could be the one, Mary, who just anointed your feet with oil. Father, in our lives, we desire to be used by you. But Father, the question is can you trust us to be used by you? Father, that we would say what the Torah has us to say, what your commandments, your instruction. Father, when someone needs healing, to be able to lay hands on them, to be able to pray with them, whether they're in Walmart, whether they're in the mall, whether they're in a workplace. Father, to be able to comfort them, to be able to minister to them. Father, to be able to see where someone needs their electric bill paid. Father, to be able to help them with that whenever they've gotten behind. Father, I can promise you that we've all mismanaged money from time and again. And Father, we've all appreciated, just like Jonathan and his wife's testimony earlier, where people would come and help, because that is very, very overwhelming what they've gone through. But Father, you still said you would not put more on us than we could handle. And I know a lot of times it looks like it. But Father, the people can rise up, because you're teaching us that we have to work together. You're teaching us that Yeshua is the head and we're the body. You're teaching the fingers and the hands and the arms and the legs and the different parts of the body that we've got to work together, regardless of where we're placed in the body, that we have to work together with a great attitude. And Father, that we got to appreciate one another. We've got to appreciate every area, every cell of the body we have to appreciate. And we have to be very thankful that you have placed us. But here's where we run into problems. Sometimes we're desiring to be in a place that we're not placed. So Father, help us, Father, be excited for where you have placed us in the body in this kingdom. And that, Father, that we could operate there. That wherever you have us, Father, that we can advance your kingdom by praying, by laying hand on the sick, by ministering to them, by giving them a word of wisdom or knowledge, gift of faith. Father, helping them, Father, monetarily, however we can do it. Father, I pray that we would, in everything that we do, that we can continue to be a humble people. And that, Father, that we can never be able to be used by you. And, Father, we just give you the thanks ahead of time. And we also praise you for the opportunity, because we've had opportunities this past week to serve you in great ways. And we thank you for these opportunities. And so, Father, with that, we bless you. Continue to work with us and help mold us into the image of your Son, Yeshua. Amen and amen. Old women and men shall sit in the streets, each one with the staff in their hand. Children will play in the streets of the city. Joy will be heard once again.